You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 14th of January. Two games over the weekend to run through, two nice wins we'll be talking about. A big picture item I think is the most important. The pure dominance of Rudy Gobert and his value. Did we find out Donovan Mitchell is a point guard? Career highs for Royce O'Neal, Kyle Korver factor, and a quick jaunt through the NBA if time allows. It's a busy show. It's a Monday. It's Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, a lot of geeky numbers, and hopefully some knowledge you wouldn't get anywhere else, allowing you to be the true Utah Jazz fan. Apologize for those of you who live for Empty the Noggin. I consciously didn't do it Friday because with the 8 o'clock start and the Saturday game, I have about an hour and a half of work I do every night before a game. And so I do that before I go to bed. So, and then I honestly didn't do it the other day because I got home. And then I just kind of just didn't. I screwed up. I had to get out. The air quality in the valley is causing my voice all sorts of problems. So I needed to get out of the valley as soon as I could. And the irony that I go to the valley for shoot around and then I drive back up because I want to stay out of the bad air. So I just create more pollution by driving up and down the canyon twice in a day. One interesting quick note before we dig in. It was actually tweeted by John Amici, who's representing London. Since 95, I think he tweeted, the game has gone from having 14 international players to 108 international players. So that is 94 players that are now on 30 rosters. So we have about three players, our roster matches this, on every roster of a talent group that we didn't have before. It's why this league is so prime for expansion. So anyway, just thought I'd share that. I thought it was a really interesting note. Let's walk through the weekend. The Jazz beat a shorthanded Laker team on Saturday, and then I thought looked really kind of spent and tired against a Bulls team, and went to work and got it done in the fourth quarter in what's not an impressive win, but, you know, unnecessary. It's kind of what you do, right? The game on Friday was incredibly fast-paced, up and down, game, and so I thought guys were Royce played 39, guys were just playing different roles. The Chicago playing collegiately is picking up Donovan at 48 at 94 feet for 48 minutes. He had to be just wasted. So it'll be interesting to see actually what they have today, playing three games in four nights, though all of them at home. If you run through the numbers a little bit on the Lakers game, the Jazz offense was a 101.7. So that's not great. Our average is 106. League's at about 108. And our offense against the Bulls, who are not good defensively, was a 107.8. So below league average, better than our average. The defense is just on fire. The defense been under 100 now since the Thunder game. Since we got beat by the Thunder against Miami in all but four games, and one of them was Detroit, where it was a 101. Under 100, to kind of try to put that in perspective, is the lead, is almost 10% below what the league is averaging. When you go under 100, you win. We could actually pull that for you to prove that to you if you'd like me to. How much better are... So this is obviously totally cherry-picking. But we go to December 12th, which is the day in which the Jazz started this run. And the Jazz defense is 3.1 points better per 100 possessions than the second best defense in the league. And is 10 points better than the average defense in the NBA since December 12th. That's incredible. Our differential in that time period is, I think, the third best in the NBA. But we're hanging our hat on what we do. And that is we defend. And it has clicked. The 76ers, December 27th, just whooped us. Toronto, January 1st in Toronto. We played a great game, but they got us. And Giannis got us. So, three of the better teams in the league. That happens. And that's the argument when people say, well, when I say Rudy's a top 10 player in the league, well, against the best. Okay, right. But, you know, nobody can really stop those guys. But against everybody else, it sure puts us in an unbelievable situation. I thought what I liked the most about the last two games, and this is kind of a feel, you know, one of those feel-good concepts that maybe is hard to actually equate with numbers, but I thought the guys gave up themselves for the team. And what I mean by that is I thought that what we saw, if we kind of run through, is Donovan playing with the ball in his hands might be his preference, but he did it. Royce played 37 minutes, which he probably enjoys, but he played it in a way they had to. Gobert, they were Robin Lopez and Wendell Carter both just defended the rim really, really well. Gobert couldn't get to the basket in the same way, so he had 8 assists. Jay Crowder can't make a shot right now. Was like positive the first night and busted his butt, spiking 1 of 13, and just made every 2 blocks, 2 steals, everything imaginable. Faves and Gobert played a bunch together, more than they usually do, in a way they didn't. Joe is not shooting the ball as well as he'd like, I thought, kind of gave himself. They really played about an 8-man rotation, almost a 7-man rotation, with the amount of point guard injuries that were taking place. And so I thought that was an interesting sight, was the fact that they, I thought, gave themselves up a little bit, which is what this team has to do. And probably what this team was not doing earlier in the year, a little bit, which was everyone came back, everyone kind of had their own value, everyone felt good about things, and they didn't collectively put together the way they were playing. That's out of my realm of what I really like to talk about, because it's not numeric and it doesn't back everything up, and you know, I can't prove it, and but I think that's what I felt. And I think that's a little bit what I've talked about, that you can never bring, and Quinn's talked about and Dennis has talked about, that you can never bring the same team back. Guys change, things evolve, there's a different feeling, and so therefore you have to reform your group as the season goes on. And it seems as though the Jazz have done exactly that. It's nice. Now, again, you know, we've played recently Cleveland, Detroit, Milwaukee lost, Orlando, LeBronless Lakers, and the Bulls. So we've won 5 of 6, having played 5 not very good basketball teams. Which is just, and there's nothing wrong with that. The Thunder have made their entire season on this, but it's just a luxury we didn't have earlier. And there's a great value to being able to play 12, 24 minutes and win a game. Tonight, you'll probably have to play 36 to 40 to win a game. I hope we all realize how great Rudy is. I really want to touch on that. His night the other night was truly marvelous and dominating. And what he does on the floor in every game, I know we love Donovan because Donovan dunks, and we love Donovan because he wiggles, and we love Donovan because he scores. And Donovan's worthy of loving, and you don't have to choose between them both. You can love them both. But I guess I'm just saying, and I'll explain here in a minute, you got 20 ounces of love, make sure you're dividing them equally. don't forget about your other love child or your other favorite child or however you want to phrase it. Make sure that even though he's not allowed and not as highlight centered, that you're loving Rudy just as much because the kid, he is just great. We'll touch on that in just a second. There's a way you can look at success of a player in their career. Like, I'll just do that with Rudy coming up here in a second. I'll give him a rating. Slow the Flow wants you to win the water efficiency rating. Yes, that's right. The water efficiency rating. You can do this through a few small, easy changes around the house. If you install a low-flow toilet, you save about 0.3 gallons per flush. Doesn't sound like a lot, but flushes add up. You flush a lot. Another flush kind of as often as Rudy flushes with a dunk. Another way to boost your ratings is taking showers instead of baths and keeping them under 5 minutes. With a five-minute shower, you use about 12 to 25 gallons. With a tub, you use 70 gallons. Little by little, little changes like this take your WER to all-star levels. Wouldn't be surprised if Slow the Flow builds a statue of you if you do it outside correctly. All right, they probably won't do that. For more information, head to slowtheflow.org. Slow the Flow, save H2O. Today's show is also brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. Good friend Tyson and the crew in Murdoch have been with Utah for over 90 years. And the Chevy brand is just on fire with the well-known Suburban and Tahoes that we see around all the time. And the all-new Silverado truck is just incredible. I had no idea when I drove the Silverado that it had the luxury element that it has, plus all that power, and they're going to run those ads with it going up and over these big things and pulling this and that. And the fact of the matter is it's like driving, going through rivers. It's like driving a Lazy Boy in a Lazy Boy. It's the most comfortable you could imagine. Check it out. The Chevy lineup of cars is just fabulous. You've got the Bolt, which is taking everyone by storm. You've got the classic Camaro. It's all out in Woods Cross. Stop by, say hi to Tyson and the crew there. Get the Murdoch guarantee as well, as they're going to make sure you have the no regrets policy. And they're going to do everything they can for you to make it eat things better and easier for you. Opening the service department a little bit longer so you can get there after the workday. Car washes and oil changes, all there at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross, right off the freeway of I-15, also located in Logan. Visit Murdoch Chevy. All right, I want to just take Rudy's night against Chicago. Like, so first of all, our defensive rating we just talked about. Like, the defensive rating is 10 points better than the average team since December 12th. I mean, it's incredible. I'm cherry-picking, certainly, because Oklahoma City and San Antonio ran by us. And then we went to – but that's fine. I don't care if I cherry-pick. This defensive stretch right now might be better than any defensive stretch the Jazz had last year. I'll have to go do some digging on that. But to be 10 points better. Now, that's clearly Rudy. Let me prove it. When Rudy is on the floor – teams shoot 29.6% of their shots in the restricted area. When he's off, they shoot 34%. A lot of people like to say, well, Rudy, Quinn's a defensive genius, and it's a system, and Quinn is a defensive genius in using Rudy. Because the league average is 33% of shots are at the rim. When Rudy's off the floor, we actually allow a percentage point higher. And when Rudy's on the floor, 29.6% of shots in the restricted area. By far the lowest rate, if it was for a team, of any team in the league. And I'm going to guess, pretty comfortably, the lowest rate of any player in the league. I'm not entirely sure how I can figure that out, but I'm going to try. Because, frankly, let's try to see if we can get Rudy on the All-Star team and win him another Defensive Player of the Year award. And then he'll give me percentages. No, he won't. Because actually, you know what's interesting in that whole article the other day about all of his incentives? None of them had anything to do with Defensive Player of the Year. Isn't that crazy? He does not get a bonus for Defensive Player of the Year. He certainly changes who he is as a player and how he's thought of, but he does not. The best team in the league at denying shots at the or defending the rim is Milwaukee. Now, that's what's interesting, by the way, is those that are now attacking Rudy have kind of are better at it. So the only people that are trying to attack Rudy actually have a pretty good idea, I think, of what they're doing, and they're getting to the rim and scoring a little bit. The Miami Heat, no, the Milwaukee Bucks deny at the rim at 26.4%, below that of Rudy. They just sit in there with Brook Lopez and don't move him. The other one is 40% of opponent shots are mid-range shots when he's on the floor. 33% when he's off. So 7% more of thoughts of shots are in the mid-range. Let's take a look at Rudy's game the other night. Rudy Gobert the other night scored 15 points on 6 shots, had 16 rebounds. He had 8 assists that led to 21 points. He had 14 screen assists. Kind of forgot about screen assists. They led to 34 points. He contested 16 shots. And the Bulls shot 53% at the rim. I mean, that is incredible. 14 screen assists. He leads the league in screen assists again. Screen assist is when he sets a screen and then we score off it. It's the premise of our offense. But his ability to roll to the basket has now made his screening even more valuable because you probably have to worry about his roll in a manner that I don't think people used to have to roll. He's averaging 6.2 screen assists a game. And the next closest is Tristan Thompson at 5.5 and Cody Zeller at 5.3. Per 36 minutes, he's third in the league. He has 272 screen assists. The next closest is Yusuf Nurkic at 206. And then DeAndre Ayton at 195. Some of it's how you play, but Rudy allows us to play that way. So when we talk about Rudy, he's obviously the defense player of the year and the premise to what makes our defense great and is stunningly great defensively. But when people refer to him as a non-offensive player, I frankly find it ignorant. Because whether we all talk about how important the off-the-bounce three is, well, here's a guy creating the off-the-bounce three with a dribble, with a pick, and with his ability to roll, and with his premise. And we're not a great offensive team, so he's pretty darn important. And obviously, you know, that aspect, he is the centerpiece to what makes this team great. Is the fact floor. Our defensive rating is a 101. Our offensive rating when he's off is a 106. Our offensive rating when he's on the floor is a 106.5. When he's off the floor, it's a 104.8. Like, that's the essence of who we are. All right. The next question everybody wants the answer to is, have we found out that Donovan Mitchell should play point guard? Let me let you hear from Lionsgate Global Advisors and Spencer Nelson, and I'll try to answer that for you next. I'd like to introduce you to Iron Gate Global Advisors Financial Group out of Salt Lake City. I found out about them from Spencer Nelson, former Utah State Aggie, great basketball player. And beyond his jump shot, he's got an MBA. He's worked in private equity. He's got experience working in Wall Street, accounting and financing degrees. And he's now working with Iron Gate Financial. And here's why.
As I evaluated my options and looked at different firms, it became clear to me that the real question I needed to ask was, who would I trust managing my portfolio? And as I got to know Brett and I got to know Brian, I was able to see how they differentiate themselves from so many other wealth management firms and the real value that they create. And it was clear to me that I wanted to work with them.
Brian's a long-term financial expert. Brett, who's been in the business forever, has got an options background. They have a strategy, a direction, and a process. And most importantly, as a small firm, they understand your journey. If you'd like to find out more about Iron Gate, give Spencer a call at 888-591-0334. That's 888-591-0334, or email him at spencer@igga.com. Anytime we're talking investing, understand that past performance isn't indicative of future results. Also, options may not be for everyone. They have different risks. Make sure you consult a professional before doing anything with them. Do your due diligence. I think what we have discovered is that Donovan Mitchell can function, perform, and score more as a point guard. I think what we've discovered is that Donovan Mitchell's slow start this year might be related to the fact that Donovan Mitchell played 34% of his minutes as a point guard last year and had not been playing, had been playing about 4% until just recently. I do not know, and I do think we may have discovered that for Donovan Mitchell's numbers, Donovan Mitchell is better, look better when he's the point guard. I do not know that we've discovered that the Utah Jazz are better if he's the point guard. Right? The offensive rating against the Lakers was a 101.7, which was, now, we've had plenty of nights worse. Against the Bulls, it was a 107.8. It's not as though the offense exploded in the last two games. Donovan exploded, which has great value and is important. But it's not as though the entire offense took that jump. And I think that's important. If Donovan's going to become your point guard, it changes the dynamic. It might be right. It might. I'm not saying. It changes the dynamic a little bit of who you are as a team and how you play and the composition of what your group is. Might, again, might be fine, but it definitely is a change. Our turnovers would probably go down because you're going to do a little less passing. Probably going to play a little more ISO. But he's been great. There's some unnatural things taking place right now. If we're just going to be honest about it, like if you look at, if you dig into Donovan's shooting right now, he's incredible. And it's awesome. But it's, there are some aspects of it where I would kind of like, oh, Donovan can score 30 points a game every time. So his mid-range shooting in the last three games is 7 of 12. It's pretty high. If you back it up a little bit, 4, it's even more. His above-the-break three-point shooting in the last three is 11 of 23. It's a little high. Like, this is not sustainable, is what I'm saying. I think he's, you know, he's shooting the ball a great deal better. A lot of talk about Royce and Kyle Korver. There's probably some talk about, should be some talk about Donovan spending a little time with Kyle Korver too, or just Kyle Korver's presence having an impact on guys and their shooting. And Donovan's, you know, over the last six games is really where it's clicked in for Donovan. His above the break shooting is kind of after a tough start. That's where the struggle was. Has come back. Is he taking different shots? Is he just making them? I'm not clear. He's made 21 of his last 40. He was 4 of 12 the other night. He wasn't as great. But he's been awesome. Absolutely awesome. So what I think has been learned is that there is a great value to having minutes in the night when Donovan has the ball in his hands. And from a team-building standpoint, I do think it's an option. In other words, Rubio's a free agent. You're trying to figure out what you're going to do next. A great shooting guard becomes available. You might decide you're sliding Donovan to the one and to let him develop that. You got to make sure you don't neuter him from having him worrying about who's getting the ball, where they're getting the ball, how they're getting the ball, all of those kind of things. There was a guy, he's not this, but there was a guy in Seattle named Flip Murray who had like these three amazing games as the point guard with huge numbers and all of this. And like the team players went into the head coach and were like, okay, that's enough. He just never saw a teammate. Donovan is obviously better at that. Donovan, by the way, last five games, 38 minutes, 40 minutes, 37, 32, 37. He's got to be gassed. Thank goodness we've been home for most of it. But he's got to be gassed. We'll see what bounce has tonight against not a point guard that's probably not going to cause you a lot of problems. Ish Smith coming back makes Detroit a good deal better. But Donovan's been great. It's been fun to see. Quick few fun notes on Donovan. He has now scored 30 in more games or as many games this year as he did all of last year. He had never scored 30 in back-to-back games. He's now done it three games in a row. And the collection of players who have scored 30, had five assists and five rebounds in three consecutive games, is another one of those moments. And again, numbers are inflated this year, as Kevin Pelton has been so off to point out. You might want to be a little careful on equating these things, but it's fun. Is a unique group. It's the who of who of players out there. LeBron, Durant, Harden, Westbrook, Curry, DeRozan. Since 13-14. Thanks to Jason Walker for that. I want to tip the hat to Royce O'Neal. Career high threes one night, career high rebounds the next. Guy gets opportunity, he just plays well. And battles and defends and still has some limitations and just fights through them. It's awesome. Few NBA notes before we wrap this baby up. Denver's won 17 games this year that were within 3 points in the final minutes and lost just six. That's their defense, 83.5. Opponents are shooting 21% from three. That could even out. I always like to take the quick Monday. It often reconfirms the same thing as what I was just looking at. I always like to take the quick Monday scan. It can be a little misleading just because if someone got blown out, and look at the last 10 games and just kind of see, is there any trend that I should be paying attention to? Here are a few notes of what I jumped out. The Lakers are last in the league offensively over the last 10 games. Think LeBron has value? Is that incredible? The Pelicans are number two offensively. They may be coming back around, though. They're 5-5. The Raptors are 15th. A little surprising. The defense, the Jazz are really good. Lakers are number two. Portland is number three defensively in the last 10 games. Worth noting. Spurs have clicked in defensively as well as their offense. Warriors are 23rd defensively in the last 10 games. Rockets are 24th. Net rating over the last 10 games, Bucks, Blazers, Jazz, Warriors, Pelicans. So everyone's coming. Blazers and Pelicans playing really well. Spurs are 8th, Rockets are 10th, Timberwolves are 11th, Denver's 12th. Thunder 13th. Thunder actually playing real teams. Paper Tiger. Convinced of it. the top eight Western Conference teams right now, Blazers, Jazz, Warriors, Pelicans playing, Spurs, Rockets, Timberwolves, Nuggets. But the crazy thing is someone has to not make the playoffs. So the Thunder are going to make the playoffs, and the Lakers may make the playoffs with LeBron, so two of them have to not make the playoffs. And that doesn't count the Clippers in. Kind of nutty. Kind of fun. It's going to be stressful. Cavaliers, by the way, net rating is a minus 17.1. They beat the Lakers last night. That is Locked On Jazz. Thank you to Slow the Flow, Murdoch Chevy, and Iron Gate Global Advisors. It is Locked On Jazz. Now you can go tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On NBA and get the biggest stories from the local experts on this Monday.